Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Dan Gregory Blair. Dan's the Deputy Director of the Office of Personnel Management. And joining us in our conversation is Nicole Gardner.
Thanks, Paul. Now, Dan, we just talked about all the things that OPM's involved with, and we all know how important Homeland Security is. So in case anybody over there thought they were going to have a normal work day, we wanted to make sure we talked about some of the other things that are on your plate Mr. Foreman has had the confidence to send over to OPM. There are five, actually six, you just corrected me earlier, government, e-government-wide initiatives. And we want to talk about each one of them. The first one, can we just start with the recruitment one-stop? Tell us a little bit about that one.
Certainly. The way that I look at these e-government initiatives is that they will cover the entire employee's life cycle while they're in the federal government. And to start off with, we would look at recruitment one-stop. And what this will do is allow for job seekers to have access to a web-based application system. We'll have a federal government branded web presence that delivers a fast and responsive experience. It's intended to be clear and easy to use, and it'll help job seekers identify jobs that match both their skills and interests. We intend for it to be an efficient process for building online job applications. Early feedback regarding the eligibility screening on factors such as citizenship or age will be built in. The online application will have a status tracking component, all working towards a seamless integration with agency automated assessment systems. As we've announced recently, we did award a major contract with Monster.com in January of 2003, and we hope to have some new enhancements on our website beginning in April 2003, such as a new search function, and it'll have a new design look to it as well.
Another of the niches is the Enterprise Human Resource Integration. Could you tell us about its goals and status?
Well, Enterprise Human Resource Integration, or EHRI for short, will eliminate the need for paper records on employees. This will enable the management of reporting of benefits generated by our e-payroll initiative and the electronic transfer of employee information throughout the federal employee's life cycle. And so instead of keeping paper records on employees, we'll be able to do this electronically, and this will reduce redundancies, improve time, and definitely improve efficiencies. At the end of the employee's life cycle, when he or she goes into retirement, they'll transfer the data to our retirement systems, and we're attempting to modernize that as well through another major initiative.
So there's some logic here. So you hire employees, you get all their data. Now comes the next one, which is the whole training side, the e-training side. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Well, I don't know if you've had a chance to go look at our Go Learn website, but I'm fascinated with it. If you click onto it, you'll see that it appears to be an office. And you can drill down into the offices or go above or below and looking at what classes might be best for you. This supports the career development of the federal workforce. A number of benefits accrue to online training. It reduces repetition. You have economies of scale. It's an easy one-stop web-based access for employees to access. It also encourages additional training and investments in learning as appropriate to the continuous development of your human resources. The e-training initiatives connects federal agencies to a competency-based library of courses throughout the creation of what we call a portal. And so once you are in the portal, then you can access the different courses. The GoLearn website went operational in July of 2002, and in January of 2003, both the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center and the Federal Executive Institute had operational sites as well on that website. The site's one of the most active sites of its type in the world, and we've had over 40,000 users to register on the site since July when we opened. So we've had great success with that, and we look forward to more.
What about e-payroll and e-clearance?
Well, e-payroll is an effort to consolidate the 22 disparate payroll systems that you have in the federal government. We've gone through an extensive process, and we've narrowed that down to two processing centers. And what we're doing here is an attempt to improve economies of scale, gain efficiencies, and save the taxpayers more than $1 billion by consolidating it down to two centers. Right now, there will be an improved financial management. We'll have an improved link between performance and budget. and again, greater efficiencies in federal payroll processing. This has been a tremendous effort, and we're looking forward to saving the taxpayers over $1 billion.
Okay, so you've got the employees, you've trained them up, you've gotten them cleared, and now they're going to retire. Tell us about the modernization program for the retirement system.
Well, this has been an ongoing effort, but we want to make sure that there's a seamless and paperless trail in which can follow an employee into retirement, and that once in retirement, if a retiree needs to retrieve these records, that he or she will be able to do so. So this is all part of an effort to keep the entire employee's life cycle in electronic format, that rather than going into a cave in Boyers, Pennsylvania, and having to retrieve records that may date back 20, 30, or even 40 years, you'll be able to access them almost instantaneously. Another part of this whole e-government initiative is also a very important one. It's the e-clearance initiative, in which we'll be able to do security clearances online as well. This is one area which is often time-consuming, and our intention is to improve the speed and the processing of individual security clearances.
All these e-gov initiatives would seem to involve coordination and collaboration of the HR functions in the different agencies. How's OPM working with the other agencies to facilitate these accomplishments?
Well, we are the managing partner on these initiatives, and so we've been charged with taking the lead on this. That said, other agencies are our working partners, and we've been looking for them for support and guidance as well. These have been going very well, and we look forward to continuing them.
So, Dan, it seems like at a focal point of many of these initiatives, obviously in the e-government world, there's a focus on technology and what technology does to enable the ability for OPM to streamline all these processes. How is technology going to increase the effectiveness of OPM as the provider of these services to both other agencies and to the civil servants?
Well, let's go through an employee's life cycle, and I think we can hit it along those lines. Recruitment One Stop will benefit agencies from a faster recruitment, selection, and hiring process of getting the right people to the right jobs with the right skills. The e-training initiative will deliver effective and cost-effective training when needed in a format that's most appropriate for the agency's missions. Improved access to background investigations and clearance information will be facilitated by our e-clearance initiative, and will put key personnel in these security-sensitive positions faster than ever before possible. The EHRI process will facilitate the management of agency personnel and permit a more efficient exchange of personnel and payroll data among agencies. Now we won't have to wait to transfer paper if an employee moves between different agencies. That can be done electronically. And then the e-payroll initiative will provide guidance on structuring payroll for agencies. And so you have almost a seamless process here for an employee's life cycle from the time that they're hired, from the time that they enter into retirement.
I'm curious in terms of your experiences, what the lessons learned would be. You talked about the success of each one of these and the fact that as a managing partner, you know that things are going quite well. As you reflect on this and perhaps give advice to others working these cross-agency collaborations, what are the lessons learned?
I think the lessons learned are that you always have to look at these issues from the other person's perspective in order to know where they're coming from, in order that you can effectively lead them. It's a collaborative process. It's not one to be dictated by one agency to another. That said, you certainly have to take up the mantle of leadership and go where the president expects you to go and carry it out as effectively as possible. This is evidence of OPM's new role and evidence of the director's commitment at raising the visibility of OPM to really to the position which it was envisioned to be in the 1978 Civil Service Reform Act, of being the chief personnel advisor to the president on federal personnel issues. Over the past decade, as you know, OPM saw itself downsized significantly. We've seen a number of agencies seeking additional flexibilities outside the scope of Title V of the United States Code, which we administer. That said, we have a new role at OPM. We're more about tools than we are about rules. That said, we are holding agencies accountable for their strategic management of their most important capital, their people. We have a director who is committed to building and establishing a world-class organization that not only employees within OPM, but federal employees and outside the federal government will look to as the cutting edge for best practices in human resources management.
And that's a good stopping point. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue discussing management. Dan Gregory Blair of OPM. What are the largest human resource challenges facing the federal government? We'll ask Dan for his perspective when the Business of Government Hour returns.
How can the U.S. Agency for International Development reform its workforce? The answer can be found in a recent endowment report entitled Human Capital Reform, 21st Century Requirements for the United States Agency for International Development by Anthony Quainton and Amanda Fulmer. This report contains 25 recommendations that were developed in a thought leadership forum held in October 2002 and sponsored by the National Policy Association. For a copy of this report and other endowment reports, visit our website at www.businessofgovernment.org or call us at 703-741-1077.